Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF, your hometown radio station right there in Madison and North Florida. And then from Madison, because of the World Wide Web, to anywhere in the United States of America, anywhere in the world, WMAF streams 24 hours a day. The same broadcasting you are hearing in Madison is going all over the world. Praise God, because of the World Wide Web. And if you've joined us by the web, we just gratefully welcome you today to this broadcast. And if you have come to our website and downloaded this teaching from our website, we're glad that you did, and we pray that it blesses you today. God's Word will bless you if you receive it into your heart as seed that has such wonderful life in it. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we have a wonderful study today that we are involved in, and let me, before we go to it, invite you to come to our website if you would like to. Make it available to you. Just type in THCOG. It will take you to the Holy Church of God. THCOG. And it will come up at the Holy Church of God in Tampa, and there are many things there to bless you, and there are no strings attached, absolutely no charge whatsoever for any of those materials. Any teachings you want to listen to directly from the website or download to an MP3 player, you're welcome to come and be blessed. Hallelujah. All right. Having said that, we're on a subject today that is a very important subject to Christians, and I believe it would be so informative and intriguing if you're not a Christian to stay tuned and listen today. Maybe you have viewed the Christian faith in the wrong light. Maybe you haven't seen it as God wants you to see it and know it. And maybe it's because in some situations you have seen Christians or a church not really representative of what God really truly wants for us. Maybe you're a Christian today and you haven't entered into that rich, deep, satisfying relationship with the Lord that we are actually called to. This is not for some spiritual elite people. This is for every child of God today. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 is our text for this teaching. And it's simply titled, A Call to Intimacy with God. That is the whole purpose, friend, of Jesus saving us. Oh, yes, there's a city called the New Jerusalem with gates of pearl and streets of gold. But God called us primarily into a relationship with Himself, calling us back into an intimate relationship with the Father and His Son and our Savior Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. It is something that takes precedence over even going to heaven. The reason we're going to heaven is because God wants us to live with Him forever. That is even greater than the grandeur and the glory of the city, is the glory of a God who loves us so much. He wants us to be where He is. He wants to be with us here, and He wants us to be with Him there. You know, the Bible said the just has suffered for the unjust, not just to take us to heaven or to keep us from hell, but literally the just has suffered for the unjust that He might bring us to God. His message and His mission that He accomplished at the cross to this planet, to this earth, to this world of fallen men and women, boys and girls, was to reconcile us to our God, that we might call our Creator and our Savior our Heavenly Father, and have a familial relationship with Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is faithful, the Scripture declares, by whom ye as a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, you're called to this fellowship, and accepting Christ can bring you into the royal family of God, reconcile you to the God that you sinned against, give you peace of mind and peace of heart, and give you a purpose and a future that transcends anything that this world could possibly offer. Praise God. Amen. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, we talked about the fact that in order to enter into a fellowship relationship, we need to understand that God is the one that is the initiator of this reconciliation and intimacy. And we need also a consciousness of our sonship, that we are the children of God, the very sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ. And He sees us that way. And today we want to deal with this particular issue of intimacy. In order to enter in to a fellowship relationship with God, we need a cleansing of the conscience. A cleansing of the conscience. You cannot get to know someone you feel unworthy to approach. You need to understand that God accepts you after you come to Jesus Christ. He accepts you in the Beloved, according to the book of Ephesians. And it is so important never to look back, but only to look forward. You know, baptism is representative of that water baptism. We are buried with Him, identified with His death and burial, and then we are raised with Him to walk in the newness of life. And God wants part of that walking with Him in the newness of life to be because our conscience is cleansed. We have sinned. We have shameful things in our past, but all of that is past. And the Apostle Paul teaches us through the Scriptures, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Well, let's read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 through 15. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 through 15. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth unto the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament or New Covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. I want to go back and read verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know, that word purge in the Greek is rendered in three words in the King James. And the first we read, to purge, but it also means to purify and it means to cleanse. On the day of your salvation, your sin-marred conscience was purged from sin and guilt, purified from past memories, cleansed from all accusation. This knowledge of our new standing with God should create boldness to approach Him and to find fellowship in His presence. Hebrews 10 and verse 22 clearly says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Sprinkle means to cleanse by sprinkling. This is a work of the Holy Spirit applying the blood of Jesus to our conscience, hallelujah, to where we understand that every sin that we ever committed has not just been forgiven, it's been forgotten. Amen. God does not look at us with an eye toward our past, but who we are at the moment we receive Jesus. Something wonderful happens when you come to Christ as your Savior. There's an Old Testament prophecy of what would take place under the New Covenant, and it's reiterated in the New Testament. As it is written, saith God, I will cast their sins away from them as far as the east is from the west, and their sins will I remember no more. It means that God will never associate us with our sinful past again. He will look at us as brand new people from the moment that we receive Christ as our Savior. As far as God is concerned, our past is gone. Hallelujah. Amen. It is obliterated. He will never associate us with our past again. That's why the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. This is that newness of life that we are called to walk in when we come to know Jesus as our personal Savior. Friend of mine, I want you to know that the cleansing of the conscience, so that we can come into God's presence, not holding our head down and not holding it high in pride, but humbly, gratefully, graciously, coming into His presence. And there is a presence of God to enter into. You know, the scripture said that God is omnipotent, which simply means He's all-powerful, He's omniscient, He's all-knowing, and He's omnipresent, which means He's everywhere, all the time. God is a spirit. And David said, when he stood looking out over the Mediterranean Sea and looking at where the sea and the sky seemed to meet on the horizon, he said, where can I go from thy spirit? If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost part of the sea, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, in the grave, thou art there, and even there thy hand shall uphold me. There's nowhere I can go where God is not, because God is omnipresent. Hallelujah. He's the Spirit. And He's right there where you are. He's right here where I am. Praise God. If you're listening to this broadcast in Australia, down under, God is there. Hallelujah. And He's simultaneously there. But when Christians come together, when we come to worship Him, or when we enter into our prayer closet to pray, or we begin to worship Him in spirit and truth, driving our car to work, there's a special manifestation of His person and His presence by the Holy Spirit. See, God is everywhere, but Jesus said, when two or more of you come together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's one reason I love to go to church and worship God collectively with other Christians, because there is supposed to be a special manifest presence that we can actually enter into. And there's a consciousness that He receives us, He accepts us, that we have access to Him. And He graciously receives us. You know, the Bible said we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might obtain grace and mercy to help in the time of any need. No matter what your need is today, one of the prerequisites for getting that need met is not just faith in a promise, but faith in a person who receives you, accepts you, who listens when you pray, because you have access to Him and intimacy with Him. Praise the Lord. He's not this God that sits aloof in His heaven, hard to reach. He is our Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us paternally. He accepts us in His Son. Hallelujah. And we need to draw near to Him with a true heart, in the full assurance of faith. How can we do that? Because we are flawed. None of us are perfect. And God is holy. The way we can do that is because we understand and fully accept what the blood of Jesus did when He shed it on that cross. It sprinkled a mercy seat in heaven in our behalf. And because of that shed blood, God receives us as if we had never sin. Praise God. Amen. What a wonderful salvation this is that offers us not just the promise of a place called heaven, but a person called Father. A God who loves us and wants that kind of intimacy and that kind of loving relationship with us. Amen. Listen, this is, we need to openly declare that our sins are forgiven and confessed, and that we stand unaccused and uncondemned by God. Now, we're not unaccused by people. There are some people that will never forget, never forgive. But God forgives, and God forgets, and God cleanses the conscience. Praise the Lord. The knowledge, really, of the cleansing power of the blood cleanses our conscience if we believe it in the full assurance of faith. See, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11. Listen, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, that means people that live habitually in this unconfessed state of sin, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor the abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Ye are washed, ye are sanctified, and ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We need to get rid of our guilt and shame, friends, and celebrate our forgiveness. And enter into fellowship with God, intimacy with Christ, resulting in a bold faith. A bold faith. Let us come boldly before the throne of God. We have confidence to enter the King's chamber. Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. We can go behind the veil without fear. That mighty veil, spiritually speaking, that reminder that God is holy and we certainly are not in the sense of sinless perfection. We have been cleansed by the blood and made holy in the sense of how God sees us now. And certainly we are not bent towards sin anymore. We have a bent toward righteousness. But at our very best, we are not worthy to come behind that veil into the presence of this God without the blood of Jesus giving us that access. But we can now go behind the veil without fear. Hebrews 10 and verse 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You know, that temple was separated from the holy place to the most holy. The holy place outside the veil and the most holy with in the veil, behind the veil. And the veil reminded in that early temple type of the relationship of God and man. It reminded fallen man, you cannot and must not come behind this veil and approach this holy God. Amen. But now through the blood of Jesus, we not only have access, we have access with confidence, and we have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I call this walking in fearless love, and it's the basis for all boldness and the basis for intimacy. You know, you can't be close to someone that you feel unworthy to approach. Unworthy to get to know. Someone that you fear is going to extend a hand and say, stop, don't come any further. You can never approach someone like that. But God, the God of the universe, the Holy One of Israel, the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, has called us to a relationship through reconciliation that brings fellowship and intimacy. Oh, I love the Word of God because it tells me who I am in Him and what He has done in my behalf. It gives me my right to approach Him. Praise the Lord. This is why the apostles had such bold faith. It wasn't just a force that got built up within them. No, it was a growing, intimate relationship with Jesus that brought this bold faith into their hearts and into their lives. Walking in fearless love is the basis for all boldness and intimacy. I'm going to read that from 1 John 4, or a substantiating scripture, 16 through 18. It says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love." See, God has loved us so much that He would give His only begotten Son for us, that whosoever would believe in Him might not perish, but have eternal life. And the reason that He can grant us complete forgiveness and eternal life and entrance into the heavenly city is because He has reconciled us through the blood of Jesus. And that enmity between us and God because of our sinfulness coming in contrast and conflict with His holiness, it's broken down. That gap is bridged by the blood of Jesus, by what He did on that cross, friend. And today, this very day, if you're not a Christian, your sins can be forgiven, your past can be obliterated, and God will welcome you into His presence and His kingdom with open arms. Praise God. Oh, friend, I want to be able to bow at the feet of Jesus when I get to heaven. But the next thing I want to do is to hug this man, to hold him in my arms and tell him face to face, "Thank you. Thank you for suffering and dying in my place at Calvary so I could be here in this place, but more importantly, so I could be here with you forever." Nobody, friend, will ever love you like God has loved you, and no one could ever go to the length that He has went to redeem you and to save you. Only Jesus can love like that. And what a love this is. There is no fear in love. This is fearless love. And fearless love is the basis for all boldness and intimacy. It's really the basis for faith. Because if we believe that He accepts us completely, then we can speak to Him and not doubt that He hears us. And the Scripture clearly said, and this is the confidence, that boldness that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. See, because we know we have that kind of relationship with Him now. We know that He hears us. That's faith. That's know-so faith. That's I know that I know that I know-so faith. Praise God. And we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petition. There's three no's there. I know that I know that I know. And when faith gets like that, It's the kind of faith that receives from God. Hallelujah. So we have this fulfilling walk with God in His presence. There's fullness of joy at His right hand. There's pleasure forevermore. We feast upon His presence. Hallelujah. We're fulfilled by His presence. We don't go looking to the world and through the world's sinfulness to fulfill the longing of our heart. It's fulfilled by the very presence of God, by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And then we have boldness to believe Him, because if He loves us enough to make us His own, He loves us enough to call us His very sons and daughters, He loves us enough to tell us that we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Then He certainly loves us enough to hear us when we pray, to help us when we cry out to Him. It brings a boldness to faith, this intimacy with God. When you walk with God, you know, the Scripture said, if God is for you, what more shall we say of these things? What can we possibly add to that in our defense when the enemy accuses and attacks and tries to tear at our confidence and in God helping us in the time of trouble by accusing us? What more shall we say to these things, Paul wrote, if God be for us, who can be against us? Praise God. Friend, today, if you're a Christian and the devil is reminding you of your past, I like the t-shirt I saw in a Christian bookstore or some Christian wearing it. I read t-shirts, by the way. There's good stuff on some, pretty good theology on some of them, because it says the next time the devil reminds you of where you've been, remind him of where he's going. Amen. Just plead the blood of Jesus over your past. Hallelujah. God has forgiven. God has forgotten. And God accepts you in His Son as one of His sons. Not that you are deified or I'm not. We are not and we will not be. He is God and God alone. And that's the glory of the gospel, that we, flesh and blood, with our fallacies and failures, are accepted in that kind of reconciled relationship with our Heavenly Father and Creator. We don't have to fear the judgment to come, for God hasn't appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. And this forgiveness brings us to God, reconciles us to God. I love that scripture again. The just has suffered for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That's the great mission of Jesus, is to reconcile fallen man to a holy God who cannot possibly forgive us and receive us unless the price for sin is paid and punished. And friend, that's exactly what Jesus did at the cross. He paid the price by taking our punishment so God could receive us. And today, I beseech you, in the name of Jesus Christ, whose I am and whom I serve, come to God. God is calling you. As sure as I'm sitting here speaking today, God is calling you to receive Christ as your Savior, to be reconciled, to be accepted, to be loved, to be sealed with the Holy Spirit into the day of redemption, to walk with Him, to talk with Him, to live in the light of His love and grace, and to live with Him forever. Friend, would you bow your heart, even if you can't bow your head, wherever you are, and say, Jesus Christ, come into my heart. Forgive my sin. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Friend, what a blessing awaits you. The past will be past and gone forever. And a brand new life will be lived here and throughout all eternity. And if you're a Christian today, get rid of that guilty conscience right now and come boldly before the throne of grace. God will welcome you with open arms. and open ears. Come back next week, will you? Let's talk about Jesus. You just rolled away the storm.